Blog Talk Radio.
In the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we read about a blind man whose name was Bartimaeus. He sat along the roadside begging, and when he heard that Jesus was coming by, he began to cry out with all he had to get Jesus' attention. Other people, even the disciples, tried to get him to hold his peace, but he cried out so much the more. Jesus stood still and commanded for him to be called. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, who asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Read about the man. Bartimaeus was his name. A beggar, poor, his eyes were blind. Day by day, he needed help. He sat alone beside. He heard Jesus will be passing by. His only hope would be if Jesus could
let's go.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we're going to continue with Chapter 16 of The Woolly Worm. Sister Bobbi Lively is sharing a lot of her life in this book. Last week, we heard how life happened to Sister Lively. She shared how she endured and overcame things with God's help. She showed how looking back makes clear that none of these things happened by chance. Brother Kraft of Jackson, Mississippi has passed away. The last public speaking while Bill heard from him was at the funeral of Bishop Gene Holland of Florence, Mississippi. Both were great foundations of the Apostolic Church of today. We feel lost for the church and for their family. But God knows exactly the graduation plans he has for them. We also just passed the holiday of Halloween. Many churches have special things for kids and adults in their community as an alternative to what the world has to offer. Some people are offended and people something to take the place of Halloween. While Bill's new thought on this and many other topics. Be upset if you must, but sin not. We will let you fill in the blanks. Bill loves the 75% off candy after this holiday. We can promise that tonight's show will not be a trick, but it will be a blessed treat for all who listen. For all of you that love to share your opinions on politics, be sure and vote early, for sure, November the 8th. That is where your voice can make a positive change. Always pray for your leaders. The worse you think they are, the more prayer they need. And now, let's hear from Sister Bobbi Lively, Blog Talk Mom.
Well, hello.
How are you?
I'm so glad to hear. I'm a little bit tired. I've been up since 5 this morning, and it's been very exciting. I'm in a class helping in a private school, and it's so interesting to to review things that were learned in the maybe the 3rd or 4th grade that I have totally forgotten. Those children are so brilliant. But it's another lesson in that we think we know the Word of God, but if we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, we can forget things and forget the significance of it. So I trust that as we climb up the ladder, again, this will be the title of tonight in The Woolly Worm, that something will be said that will draw us all to thinking and closer to the Lord. I do thank you again, you and Ma Bill, for allowing me to take part in this. It means more to me than I can even put into words. My voice may sound a little bit shaky due to the fact that I've been up so long, but I'm bright alert. That don't even think because I sound funny that I'm I'm trying to give you an excuse right away. But every week, and this is so beautiful of the Lord, that when I begin to go back through the chapter, whatever I'm going through that particular week, it seems like it ministers to me so much. And Sister Starling, while Bill, this, I believe, a ministry, an opportunity to share this in this fashion. And I'm very, very grateful to you. And I've been praying, and others are also, that tonight that someone listening will be encouraged. And because we all are climbing a ladder, so to speak. Now, I know that there are some people that are offended at that concept because they think that maybe we're saying, or I would be saying, that we have to earn or work our way into heaven. And that's putting the emphasis differently than I intended, because I know for sure the Bible teaches us the love of God, his wonderful, marvelous grace that saves us when we believe it. And, of course, that goes along with it. If you believe it, you're going to obey it. And so if you want me to, I'll start in on chapter 16, and then we'll, any questions, anybody? I know it's late. My friends all work, and now that I'm having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I certainly understand. Very late, it would seem like. So it's another rung on the ladder. So you want me to start up, Sister Starla?
Take it away.
All righty. I would just love for one of these days, I'll just be real quiet and y'all. Well, Bill, he'll be with us on the end for sure. So another rung on the ladder. And it began in speaking about Christian school. Now, there is a situation where a school, and this is actually the using part of the facility of our church, and there was a situation came up, and they needed someone to step in. And I have a lot of history in that, but it was 60 years ago or 50 years ago. Now that I'm 82, I can throw those numbers out. Children were delightful, and I really enjoyed being there today. And I believe with all my heart that children should be in an environment as they every day of their life where they hear about the goodness and the grace and the love of God. And it was the classes this morning started off with a beautiful Bible study with the lady that's the superintendent. So this starts talking about Christian school. And I'd prayed. I really knew the power of the Word of God. And I'd prayed that the Lord would place my children, Rhonda and Richie, in a school that would help them really develop strong values. They're still human. We're all human. But when that seed is planted, it's powerful. So as a teenager, I'd gone to the school in St. Louis that taught a Bible-based curriculum. It was Bible everywhere you turned in every way. And I'm convinced that even though I didn't live for God, I went back into my home, my parents, my environment that I had been in Detroit. But that seed was planted in my heart. And it would come to me. The Holy Ghost was able to speak to me all through the years till I could surrender my life to him completely. So God knew exactly where our family needed to be. And with a series of events, and I'll tell you, they were not pleasant, God would lead us there. So sometimes when you're going through a situation and you want a certain job and you don't get it, or you do get it, then you're fired. You get transferred, whatever. We can keep our eyes on the prize. The Lord is the one. And we, in that example prayer, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So we went to a school. It was a school and a church combined in Beebe, Arkansas. Dr. John Scheel, his family, pastored. And his sister Sheila was one of the grandest musicians I had ever heard, and she could play anything. And then the children was involved in choirs and all types of activities, and my children just loved it. They got into it wholeheartedly, and it thrilled me to see them interacting with the church and with the school. You know, every day we had a pledge, and we were talking in the class today that I was in about the Pledge of Allegiance and what it really means. And it reminded me of this story in Deuteronomy 6:4-6. And we said this every morning. We pledge allegiance to the flag and then to this scripture here that, "Hear, O Israel." Now, this is speaking to everyone. "The Lord our God is one, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And Jesus went on to teach in the New Testament, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to say that everything that we do, that is the rock, that is the basis, that straight gate and narrow way right there. Love, and love it thoroughly, not just with words, but with deeds and with your whole heart. So we had that foundation each day. And then as the older the children would become, the more we interacted to help people and be involved in all types of outreach. So in the formative years of the school, I was privileged to be that was in an open classroom. That by that I mean it was third, fourth, and fifth grade in one class. And it was, they taught me, the people laugh at this, but they taught me so many things. And of course, naturally, I did the lessons and prepared them and graded them. But working with those children, watching them interact, watching them and being a part of them applying the things that they were learning as they worked together was so beautiful, so peaceful. And I think that this school, I've noticed it, that I was in this morning, that they do the same thing. The different grades are so thoughtful. And so that in itself is one of the greatest lessons that you can learn in life, is to care for one another. So this is a sort of a funny illustration, but never use the word real when you mean very. Now, I hope you use everybody, but anyway, okay. Never use real when you mean very. Therefore, she is real stupid shows that you are very stupid. I think that's so funny. But usually when I tell a funny story, I have to hold up a little card and tell everybody to laugh. But anyway, this point is real important. Seriously speaking, teaching school was an opportunity for me to receive a second chance to learn. I was fascinated by the satisfaction I felt when I completed a lesson plan with these students. We had school programs and the assemblies where I could see them in action with the things that they had learned. And then they were ministering to those that could, the other family members and our visitors. And as I mentioned, the children, Rhonda and Richie, they did special songs, skits, choir. They were in children's choir. And Billy Richard, that sometimes people think I have four or five sons, but his name is Billy Richard, Wild Bill. He was the first graduate. And so the school and the college are still beautiful. I have my degrees from there, associate's and bachelor's degree. And I reap so many benefits for just having attended there. When I receive a compliment for my contribution as a teacher, I know it's because of what the Lord can turn water into wine, and he certainly turned my life completely around. My efforts with everything I did were covered with prayer, and the anointing was there in spite of my limitations, and they were there. Some of the funniest stories, if I had time, I would share with you that turned into great lessons from the Lord. God will move us out of our comfort zone, and we look for new frontiers. Well, you know, if your mood changed, I cannot tell you how many times from, I guess, as long as I can remember, my childhood, they've asked me to write my biography. And as I was writing it, and I remembered it, World War One, World War Two, the Great Depression, the atomic bomb, all of these things happened in my first 5 years of life. And that was a lot of confusion, tremendous confusion, and moving and not being settled. And then my parents, because of severe poverty in the Arkansas area at that time. They moved to Detroit, Michigan. But in Detroit, the interracial problems were the worst they had ever been, from what I heard. And there was so much just lack of love, struggling, arguing, even, you know, if you on a job site or anything, in school situations. So when God moves us out of one situation to another, there'll be new frontiers every time, but especially in the spiritual realm, because God doesn't leave us. And I want to flip over here to, we're talking about ladder, and that, we know that Jacob, we have the song, Jacob's Ladder. And in Genesis 28:15, there's a scripture, and Jacob, the Bible records that he even had wrestling with his brother before he was even born, Esau. It was just all struggle as they were growing up, and everything that Jacob went through. And then he has this vision. He's asleep. He wakes up. And there is this ladder, and it's going from the earth all the way up into the heavens. And angels are going on each side, and at the top is God. Jesus is speaking to him, and in 28:15, now he was frightened. This was certainly an experience, if you can visualize that. And here's the words of the Lord. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. As I read this again today, there were things in my life, and there still are, and it was just like God literally anointed these words for me personally. And that's what the Bible can do. God's with me. He's going to keep me wherever he sends me or whatever happens. He's not going to leave me. And he's not going to leave you. Now, ladders are a very serious thing. Let me tell you, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years ago, and totally fractured 2 ribs right in my kitchen. And I can tell you one thing. It is better to get a ladder than to get a chair or anything that you can just grab so you can fix a light or get something off of a top shelf, because they're made to sit in, not to stand in, especially when you're as clumsy as I am. And climbing, and we're going forward, and we're going towards God, and we're going to change. There's going to be those times. There's a way that we can keep our balance. Just the same principles that there are if you climb a ladder in the natural. You want to keep your balance, and you aren't going to reach beyond the ladder, because when you do, then you can flip over very easily. And we don't want to try to be God, to be the boss. We're going to tell him what he should have done, when he should have done it. No, we're going to keep our balance by absolutely standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. We're going to keep our balance in his word. He's going to instruct us. He's going to bring us through this one scripture in Genesis 28:15. And then I hope to read a poem at the close of the service or the lessons today, because it blessed me so much. And it's a mixture of someone else's poem and some words that I added to it to share what I was feeling. So if you hear anointed preaching, if you go where there's people that are fasting, praying, reading the Word of God, they're called to minister to you. You're going to grow in the Lord. You're going to be climbing a ladder every time that you go into the Word of God and you obey him by not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, because this is all part of us climbing our part. Jacob still had his part to do. He had to follow the leading of the Lord. So there's an information I want to read this out of the book. If you add information to the Word of God according to what you see, we have to be very, very cautious, because the pattern in my life, I might need to hear God speak to me in a certain situation about, well, you know, in anything, if you're being abused, you have a time that you can make a decision. But if someone else, you don't try to apply what God is showing you. That's like reaching up, climbing a ladder, but letting somebody else hold the ladder that's not paying attention or doesn't know how to do it either. So let God hold the ladder. Let it be absolutely dependent upon Him and your obedience to Him. Brother Shield told a story. He was telling everybody that, like what I was saying, to think independently. There was a lady, and I may have said this before because it's very interesting. I've heard other preachers say it. But when she, at Thanksgiving, she would make a ham, a beautiful ham, and she would cut it off on both ends of the ham. And so her younger daughter was a cook, and she said, "Mom, why are we doing that? Is there any particular, does it make it taste better or the seasoning?" And she said, I don't really know. Grandma did it and told Mom to do it. And so when they all got together for dinner, the younger woman said, Why did we do that? Why did we cut the end off of the ham?" And she said, "Well, I did it because my pan was too small." So see, she had a reason for doing it, and it made a lot of sense. But technically, it didn't make any sense for the rest of them to do it because they had a pan that was plenty large enough. So we go to the Word of God, and we want to be totally dependent on what the Spirit of God is speaking to us in a situation. And it'll be another rung up the ladder if we do it that way. Otherwise, it can be confusion. So in the Bible, there's, in the Old Testament, there's 39 books. In the New Testament, there's 27. Now, there's a real easy way to know that. There's, in the word old, there's three letters. Testament, there's nine. So old, and you've got three, and you put it beside the nine, you've got 39. But you can't do the same thing with the New Testament. New is three, and Testament is nine. But the difference is the cross. You multiply 27, and then altogether you have 66. So you apply it with total sincerity and love for the Lord and His Word. And the Bible plainly says that we will be cleansed and strengthened and blessed in every way. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're going to update our map, but we're not updating God's map. We're going to climb the ladder. The ladder was already there, but then there's our part to climb it, to be obedient and to follow the Lord. The Bible is not for private interpretation, even though it may apply to a private situation. We can't go into 2,000 different denominations and say, "Well, it doesn't matter." It does matter. We're to follow the Scripture. We're to look at it, pray over it, and follow it. And if you, everybody I've ever talked to that loves the Word of God, they'll read something. Maybe they've studied it. They've heard it preached. It's been one of their favorite Scriptures. And then in their own devotion, they'll read it, and they'll see something deep and rich, not different, unless it's quickening of the Spirit of God, but deeper. It just, I like that song. I've been, lately, it's been on my mind so much. It's so wide you can't get around it, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. And then what does it say, the song? You go in at the door. Who is the door? Jesus. And the Spirit of God will reveal and take us deeper and closer to Him, the ladder, every time. So when you pray to God, and we each of us have petitions. You know, we want God to do something, and this is beautiful. This is the way God ordained it for us to come to Him. But there's also a way of fellowshipping with God, not just wanting to go up the ladder because you've got your own personal ambitions for whatever, but for fellowship with Him. He was at the top of the ladder, and He's at the top of every situation that we go through, every time, every moment. And that wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Psalms 139:14 says, now listen, I love this. I will praise thee. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, if we praise God and quote that scripture, you'd be amazed, or I'm amazed, at how all of a sudden I can see all of the things in my health that are so positive, whereas maybe just before I read it and prayed, I see that, you are really ugly, Sister Lively. Anyway, that's supposed to be funny. Well, I mean, not that I'm not, but anyway, we want to see and sort of pick and criticize ourselves. And really, proper nutrition, now that's our responsibility. If I'm going to eat and drink and all the things that I know are not healthy, then climbing up the ladder, that's my responsibility, because God reveals that to us, to use wisdom in all things. And when I do that, oh, wow, I feel so much better. And there's a certain way to exercise, a certain way to rest. But we sort of avoid those things because, for one thing, one reason or another. I was speaking with Sister Starla about that today. And I know God can raise the dead, but, you know, we've got our part as long as we're living. But we can claim promises. But I believe, my point is, that we have our responsibility in all situations. If I eat chocolate candy all day long and other foods that I know are not good for me, then I think before I pray for healing, I need to repent. Because if I'm willfully doing something that is harmful to my health, then I got to climb up the ladder. It's my part of it too. Another rung up the ladder, and I've done that, and I have always reaped great rewards. So, in fact, it was 30 years or more that I didn't take any medicine at all, none of any kind. And I've seen God move in situations in my own life that are absolute miracles. And so the big change, go back to the family, when we went to BB, it would involve moving to another state, and for over 25 years, we made our home in Nashville, Tennessee. My husband was transferred with his job, and I want to sort of compare that to Canaan land. Oh, there were giants everywhere, and my feelings were tried, and there were things that I did not understand for years. But I can promise you from the depths of my heart that God was always finishing line. And one of the most beautiful experiences was at the close of my husband's life. He had cancer, and he had one of the most beautiful experiences with God that I've ever witnessed in church, in meetings, recovery, jails, anywhere I've ever been where there's been a real move of God, nothing any more beautiful. And so God certainly comes out a winner at the finishing line. So every relationship and every experience that we have on the job, anywhere, it's going to leave its mark. And it's embarrassing and humbling to look back at some of the messes that took place in my life, because there are consequences. That doesn't mean that God's holding them over my head. It's just as if I had never done them, because I'm justified. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit. But on the other hand, there were consequences that if it had not been from the Lord taking over and answering prayer and his mercy, I don't know how in the world they would have turned out. And this is a beautiful thing. As I mentioned, I work in recovery classes. These are people that are coming out of jail, prison, usually their drug situations, and there's broken homes, so many things in their life. But as they live for God and they get into the Word of God, you see, all types of healings take place. It's so beautiful. 19, the Lord said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you will loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. These are consequences that we can pray and we can reach out to God and then live that light that he told us to be and plant that seed that God within us in those around us, and it will reap a harvest. It can't do anything else but that. We have the keys. God said that he's the door, and we have the keys. It's his word to follow him. As we climb up each rung of the ladder of life, we must prioritize. As we climb higher, what do we want to take with us? It's going to get, if I'm right there on the bottom, I could probably carry a lot of different things. I could get tools and whatever. But the higher you get, as we continue to climb higher, if we are to maintain our balance, we must keep our focus on something that is not changing. If I'm reaching for something and it's moving, I could have I have had some serious falls. So God, eternity, heaven, hell, the Bible, prayer, these will reflect unchanging realities. When we speak of eternity, we know we've put our trust in God. We are eternally his. This is an eternal thing. But eternity, if we don't live for God, is eternal damnation. Sometimes people say, oh, well, don't talk about that. That makes people feel guilty. I don't know what Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. And we must know eternity is real. And all of the things that we think, oh, I can't give this up, or I can't do this, or I don't want. Listen, heaven is real. I mean, eternity with Almighty God, that's worth throwing down any kind of junk and letting it be real in our heart, being totally sold out. This is interesting. If I were to ask you, this is sort of like a little quiz. Now, some of you may could do this, but if I said, name the 5 wealthiest people in the world. Well, I couldn't do that. I don't have a clue. Maybe the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners. Nope, couldn't do that. 5 winners of the Miss America pageant. Nope. 10 people who have won the Nobel and Pulitzer Prize. And I love that. I've studied that. I couldn't bring it to mind right now. Or the last 6 Academy Award winners, best actor, actresses, or maybe the World Series winners. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of that. And that's great. Those are great things to know. But I can answer the next questions. List a few teachers in my life that aided my journey through life, through school, through work. There's no doubt about it. I could spend the rest of this class. It's not a class now. But no. We never forget that because that's personal. That's us and them. That's the help that changed our life. 3 friends who have helped you through a difficult time. You'd have to stop me. I'd be at 20 in no time. 5 people have taught you something worthwhile, immediately, certain people are just right there in my mind, people who have made you feel that you were really appreciated. That, and if these are so important and are so life-changing, shouldn't we be prayerfully considering to be this in other people's lives to make them feel appreciated? I'm not talking about flattery in no way, but there's no one you can't, especially if you prayed or I've prayed that God will not show you a quality. And that my favorite lesson of all time is don't water the weed, water the plant. By that, I hope it's obvious, but in everybody, there's something that we can see in that person and help them develop that. Think of 5 people you enjoy spending time with. Well, mine's all built around church, but I have more fun. I guess I'll just share this, but since the Lord gave me the rap albums, and I love to share it with everybody I meet, and everybody at church has made me these cards, and now there's the little mark on the back. They can just scan it, and they're right there where all 4 albums are on YouTube. And now this book, also they scan that. That makes me so happy. I can share these things. Because God gave them to me. It's not about me. It's about Him. And that is, and they know that. And it's really seemed to be almost like an evangelical mission field for me right now. The people who make a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials or the most money or the most awards. The people who make a difference are the ones who care. And God cares. I want to read you something. It's titled My Hero. There's a special someone that God had sent my way to help instill His truth in me when I was in the 5th grade. She met me with a smile each day and never let me down. And when I felt so lonely, her smile replaced my frown. This special person in my life I always knew was there reminded me when things got bad. My answer was in prayer. She was an inspiration. She'd gently take my hand and tell me it would all work out if I would follow His plan. There's been a lot of trials since those days of long ago. But Sister Lively, you'll always be one of my first heroes. Isn't that beautiful? Written by Peggy Long with love and prayers. And she absolutely was delightful in every memory I have. And I really appreciate this lovely poem. I have a whole stack and they're in display that Wild Bill and Sister Starla have sent me. They can write the most encouraging, beautiful words on my birthday, Mother's Day. And I love that. That means there's life and death in what we say. That's Bible. So it matters to just do that. It was sort of like a introduction to the lesson that we were going to have Sunday morning. And Sister Cat had these cards, and they were complimentary cards. One of them was, I love to hear you laugh. Another one was about how the stories you tell and inspire me or whatever. And she passed them out, and then each person gave their card, if they wanted to someone that they really felt like that was a compliment to. And it was beautiful. In fact, the whole service, and later on, it was all about love with, I think 2 were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. It was a beautiful morning service. So we can do that. And it's not flattery. It's life. We speak life. So climbing a ladder requires balance, as we've said many times. Since we're comparing our walk with God to climbing a ladder, we must be balanced. But just what does balance mean? It means poise, stability, and steadiness. Remember, I've mentioned it several times in one, another lesson that I love to teach when I'm asked to speak somewhere. The person that is a great athlete, they have to have balance, a plan, and focus. Look into the Word of God. Find the balance. It's not one foot in the world, worldly things, selfish, flesh, lust, and then one in church. That does not work. It's both feet solid on the rock Christ Jesus and His Word. It's sort of easier, I guess, I can visualize me when I flew over and out and down. I didn't have a video of it, but when I broke my ribs, and that's very bright in my mind to remember. I don't really visualize myself so poised and dignified. But we want to make sure that through prayer and focus on the Lord, that we are balanced. We are balanced. We do have a plan that He gave us, and we're going to stay focused. We are not going to be distracted. Why? Because we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, you know, you've met people that were truly mentally unbalanced, mental illness, and you can see it in everything they do, but you can be spiritually unbalanced. And it may not be as obvious, our spirit on how we react to something. That's very serious. We may be right. We may be 100% right as far as the decision. But if our spirit is wrong, then it doesn't work. It can cause more hurt, more pain than anything else. And so we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no heavenly good. If we try to keep one foot in the world and one in church, if we fall, which way will we go? Think about it. Some people come back like the prodigal son. They fall right to an altar. They surrender everything. The Father welcomes them back, throws the biggest Holy Ghost party that you can ever imagine. But others fall back into their habits and the brokenness. Revelation 2 and 7, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Now think about that. That's not the appendage on the side of your head. That's whether you really hear what God is speaking to you. "To him that overcometh," God says, "I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So we want to hear what God is speaking to us, and then we want to share it with others. We want to be real at all times. If it be possible, as much as life in you, we are to live peaceably with all men, Romans 12 and 18. Now, notice that, if it be possible, as much as life in you, like maybe it, there would be a time that it would you just be at peace with everybody. We know there were people martyred all through history. They were not at peace. There was no way to make peace, but it wasn't them. It was the situation that they were in. While Bill has told this, shared it, but I think it's so beautiful. When he was in a situation that was very overbearing, the people involved were very, very cruel and very, very long wrong. And he was led to do a good deed, a very good deed for the people involved. And they saw it. They felt it. You know, we can break a lot of those kind of spirits by just being loving. But then there are times that people will not, they just will not yield. And that was the way it was when Jesus went to the cross. Can you imagine? He could have called legions of angels. Think about that. And he knew, I mean, he prayed three times if there was any way that could have been avoided, the things. He knew what was going to happen. and when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even the disciples, he said, "What could you not wait one, just watch with me 1 hour?" And then when Judas came, he betrayed him with a kiss. That's pretty bad. We don't want to be that way with our Lord. We want to be prayed up, packed up, and ready to go. I know that God wants us to be that way too. We want to be on the right path. You know, sin means losing your way. Losing your balance is one, or for me, it's happened to me a lot, and I feel like the older I get, and you do hear of elderly people losing their balance a lot, their circulation, different arthritis, different things. But this scripture here, I want to read this. Blessed is the man that walketh not. This is my favorite. I just love it. I quote it every night before I go to sleep. It's Psalms 1:1-6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms 1:1-6 again. Please memorize that chapter. If it does for you what it does for me, it's like a balancing on the ladder with both feet solid and both hands solid and everything. I mean, it's just beautiful. So one of the ways you can memorize it is take out some of the main words, and then when you get to that place that's blank, fill it in, and you'll have it memorized probably in one day. So Jesus is holding us and the ladder. He makes us secure in his power to keep us from falling. The ladder is leaning on Jesus and standing on Jesus, and he is there to balance us. But we've got to believe. Sometimes it's easier to believe for someone else than for ourselves. At that point, we can almost push somebody's ladder over if we give a lot of advice without, or a lot of judgment or judging without keeping it in the hands of the Lord. The following story illustrates this point. One day a lady came to her pastor and cried, "I'm so scared. My husband keeps telling me that if I come to your church one more time, he's going to lock me out of the house and beat me up really bad." So the pastor reassured her, "Oh, that's going to be okay. Oh, we prayed about that. That's just fine. We'll just be praying. Have faith. The Lord will watch over you." "Oh, yes," she said. "He has kept me thus far. Only what, my child?" the pastor said. "Well, this time," he said, "when he got through beating me up, he was coming after you." "Well, now," said the pastor, "have you considered the little church on the other side of town closer to your home?" I know that's bad, but it just fits. Remember, we want to always practice what we preach. If it's faith, faith is confidence. Trust it, and then be the salt and the light of the earth. That's what God said we would be. Jesus said, remember when Thomas, you know, he said, "Oh, I'm not going to believe until I actually see the nail prints," and, you know, and then Jesus appeared to him. And he said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." John 20:29. Now, we may, some have seen visions, some have, certainly not for all the movies that they've got out, see God, maybe not with the eye, but with the heart and with our spirit. Every day, this is what Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this, he has not learned the lesson of life that does not every day, surmount a fear. The enemy is the accuser. He is absolutely, because see, God never gives us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So where does it come from? We will have those types of attacks. I heard a story about a talented man that could walk a tightrope. And this is really interesting because I could visualize this so strongly. And then he got a wheelbarrow and he put rocks in it and everything. And everybody, when he would walk this tightrope, they would just applaud and just go on and on. And he asked him, he said, do you think that if I could put a person in here, that I could walk this tightrope across this big, like a ocean, not ocean, but I think it was Niagara Falls or somewhere that was really, really a big place. And everybody, oh, yeah, they believe that? And he said, okay, do I have a volunteer? And all of a sudden it got very quiet. So see, sometimes we think one way, but are we really ready to commit to that? And I don't think, well, I wouldn't be willing to do that for anything. I wouldn't want to do it, but I want to be real, the entire thing, right? So who are we depending on? This says, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, now listen to this, all things are possible to him that believeth. Think about that. All things are possible. And so his child was healed. There's so many beautiful stories that Christ, the leper, different ones that came to him. If you would, and the lady with the issue of blood, just everywhere. And God was willing, and he did heal. And he is our healer. He loves to heal us. Now, there are people that I would be very cautious how I shared that with that are suffering in great ways, or someone that they love dearly just passed away. We offer that in being led by the Spirit of God. There are certain principles in life that will work no matter who uses them. Faith is faith, and it will work. And fear is a common factor in all failure, but we do not judge anybody. Fear is faith in the problem instead of the problem solver. So even though we avoid trying to make somebody feel better when they're hurting, and we see that, but we can prayerfully hold that ladder for them, and we can love them. And then as they walk up the ladder, God will be the force that keeps them, not you and me. We are doing what God told us to do, believe, pray, and love. The point is that Jesus offers mankind a way to become brand new. In Colossians 3:10, I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, tying this all together, back to the ladder. You're not on the ladder. They're on the ladder at the point that you're trying to give love and show direction. But there's a way to do it. And God is glorified in every word you say and in every deed. Now, there was a poem I wanted to read. It's already 10 o'clock. Wild Bill, anybody want to step in here, or can I go ahead and read it?
Go ahead and read.
Go ahead. Now, okay. Okay. It's very, very in quality time with him. I heard a little story that said it's really... it isn't the quantity, it's just the quality. So if you went and you bought a steak, and it was really, really the best steak, you couldn't be any better, but they only brought you a piece that would fit on in a spoon. Well, I mean, you'd want to say, well, hey, what about the quantity here? No, it doesn't matter. You've got the quality. No, it matters. Now, you do want to have quality in your prayer. You don't want it to be ritual, but you want to have time where you shut everything else out and you go to Him and you spend quality, quantity. And I was reading this today. I changed it a little bit, but it meant so much to me, and I thought, Lord, I want to share this tonight. It's a poem. It says, I cannot be sad if my Savior is near. He bids all my sadness depart. I feel that. I'm going to cry, y'all. Haven't you ever just felt sad? And then you feel that presence of God. I cannot be lonely if gently I hear His whisper of love in my heart. And I so many times I want to share things like this with, I'm very blessed not to be in a facility. I have my own privacy, dignity, ability. I thank Him for that every day. But there are those that they would love to be visited and scriptures read to them and promises given. Back to the poem. The whisper of love, soft whisper of love. How oft, like the poor wandering dove, talking about Noah's Ark, I fly to the Ark with my Savior to rest and hear His soft whisper of love. I cannot be weary. The days are not long if onward I trustingly move. And oft on my journey, I pause in my song to Him with all of my heart. And when the path He has taught me to climb, now think about it, the ladder, the path, He's taught us to climb. The ladder that leads to His throne, how kindly again He speaks. He lifts me and He tells me I'm His own. No voice in this world is so tender and sweet. He promises that when I call, His presence will bring joy so complete. He will lift me so I cannot fall. And I just thought that was so beautiful, and it went so along with, as we climb, sometimes we're fearful. Sometimes we've had past falls and experiences. But if we keep that connection. I was driving in Arkansas. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. But I didn't know about hydroplaning. I just didn't know. And I was on like a clover leaf of the interstate, and I was on the top level. And I hydroplaned. I went between two trucks and left the interstate and went down to the bottom level. As I went off the top level, I felt the presence of God so beautifully strong. When I went down to the bottom level, there was no impact at all. I looked way up, and people were parking their cars and looking to see what was happening. I just drove off. Now, I know that maybe there are situations that would not apply to, but it did for me that day. He's with us. He leads us and He guides us. And that is His will for our life. There's another little poem. When you feel unlovable, unworthy, unclean, when you think that no one can heal you, remember, God can. When you think that you are unforgivable, for your guilt and your shame. Remember, it's hidden and no one can see within. Oh, remember, friend, God can. And when you have reached the bottom and you think that no one can hear, remember, God can. And when you think that no one can love the real person deep inside of you, always remember, friend, God does. He loves us and knows us and designed for us to be overcomers every situation. And I didn't go to the end of this, but I almost did, and I feel very complete with it. So I am going to turn back to Sister Starla and let her share, or Wild Bill, whichever.
Well, that was delightful, as always. I just love what you have to share with us. Brave, courageous, and we are very blessed. I want you to know how much I appreciate it.
I love you for every word you ever said. So precious.
We have Wild Bill. Just a second.
All right.
Hello, Wild Bill.
Hello, in some ways. Hello. Hey, in some ways, this is one of my favorite chapters so far because it speaks so to the journey of living for God. One of the things that has always baffled me is how that when you look at, you know, heroes of the faith, you look at people that their life's work, you know, like we were talking about Sister Holland, and we were talking about Brother Kraft that recently passed away. And, you know, I was saddened when I heard that, you know, they no longer had the Christian school there, because I believe and know the ministry that comes from having your regular education as well as being able to have in-depth teaching on the Word of God. I wouldn't take anything for learning if it was no other lessons taught but just the tabernacle, where we actually built one to scale and learned what all the pieces were and that the specifics of God's plan. And so many people, they look at things of God and they don't want to look big picture. Oh, I almost forgot. Speaking about heroes, Blog Talk Mom, you're my hero. just seeing the things that you went through, seeing the things that you've endured. I've learned more about the process of, and not just in this book, but in watching you live life. It's not all a rose garden, and it's not all mountaintops, but it's not all valleys, and it's not all the journey in between. There's all the different parts of what's there. But out of all of it, you are for sure my hero, because continue to go past obstacles and look for things to be used in the kingdom. Even things where you don't totally fit, if there's not someone there to do it, you go ahead and you're like, okay, I'll put that hat on too, and I'll do the best I can. And you may be juggling 20 hats at one time, but I've never seen that stop you from being involved in churches that didn't have music, to where, like I say, I saw you start off with the getting up there with your little strumming board thing and your harpsichord, or what, no one harpsichord, your, wow, can't think of the word right now, but anyway, playing that and singing, to next thing I know, I come back and you're leading worship services playing piano. It was one of the things you had a desire to do. And you took desire, and you took lessons, and you practiced, and those were all steps of the ladder to get there. It baffles the mind to where so many, all you got to do is say, I accept the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and that's it, you're saved. And it just goes to show that you do not know what it means to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So many things that you know that is topped as a race. It's the he that endures to the end. It's a daily thing that you got to go through. And you covered that so well in this chapter about the process. It's not that we have to earn our way in. The best example that I was thinking of is that I heard a song the other day by a singer named John Legend. And he wrote it for his wife, and he says, "I don't love you the same as I used to." And it goes on to say, the honeymoon's over. You know, we've went through, you know, time and challenges and things. And in truth, I love you more each day. I love you more now than what I did when we first started. And that's the whole thing. You have to go through process. You got to go through failures and mistakes and victories and challenges. And because without that, we're sort of like Job. We don't really know who God is. We think we know who God is, but we don't really know who he is. We don't know him on a personal level as my Lord and my God until you go through process. It's not a one-time thing that you do, and then all of a sudden you can't shoot your way out of heaven. It's not a once saved, always saved. If that's the case, then why is he married to the backslider? So many things you have to look at the process of even the people in the Bible. When you look at them, that they didn't do everything perfect. And I can't imagine what it would be like to know that I was going to be crucified and then have the nerve to stand up and say, "Well, I can't be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down." My prayer would be, "Lord, deliver me." But just think of the power of that testimony that we have of Peter with the way he finished his life. When we look at all the people, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the process of their life, and you see the things that they stood for, and it wasn't one of those immediate things. Peter, you know, the first time they come after Jesus in the garden, he pulls out that fisherman's knife, which is like a real long, short sword, and whacks off this guy's ear. You know, he was used to flaying fish. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't someone who was used to battle. But yet he stood there and was going to do that. And then at the other end of it, he's like, "Crucify me upside down. You know, I don't want it to be the same." But yet where he has all these fears and he denies Christ, and then he turns around and he's like, "Hey, silver and gold I don't have, you know, but what I have, I give to you." And he stands up on the day of Pentecost, and he's like, you know, instead of all of a sudden being afraid, it says being full of the Holy Ghost, he let them know, "This Jesus whom you crucified, I was God in flesh. And to be saved, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. To be born of the water and Spirit, it means that you got to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the Holy Ghost." That's not something that's made up. It's all part of the Word of God. But Peter didn't get there through all his walk and everything, and through sitting there and going through, you know, the foot washing and communion. He didn't get it there at the last night. He didn't have a total understanding of things at that point. He wasn't complete in his relationship with God. And it took walking and running and enduring and standing fast and being true, and allowing God to be his strength, and allowing God to be his shield and be his buckler, and to be the things that he needed, his righteousness, to be able to put those things through God. You can't get that just saying, you know, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and I confess you're my Lord and Savior." That doesn't work. It's a ladder process. It's not earning your way in. It's submitting yourself to God's will and letting him work with you through life, because he knows the plans he has for us. And in his plan, all things work together for the good for those that are called according to his purpose. And his purpose is that nobody should be lost, that everyone should be able to make it to heaven, to avoid hell. And that's his plan. But in doing that, he gave us free will. And just like when it comes to relationship between a man and a woman, when things get hard, when things get tough, when the trials come, when all of a sudden you get to looking at somebody else instead of your spouse, the person that you love and cherish, and all the things you promised on your wedding day that you would do, that in sickness and in health, when you forget those things and all of a sudden you walk away from it, that's the same thing you can do when it comes to the things of God. And just like in a marriage is not defeated and it's not destroyed in one day. And it's not defeated and it's not destroyed because of the actions of one person. But it starts always as a thought. I don't remember who the actor was, but he made the comment that in his household, divorce was not a word that they would use. And they would make sure that if they had to give each other space to get away from each other. And it takes that thought process of being a man or a woman with a backbone to say, I'm living for God today. Yeah, I got trials coming my way. I got things that I'm not sure of for future. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know, you know, the things that, you know, God's going to send into my path today. But, Lord, if you help me through this day, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you that nothing's going to come my way that I can't overcome because I have victory through you. And when you get to thinking like that, and all of a sudden you may not realize it, but you're climbing a ladder. You're running a race. You're striving for the mark. And those are the things that are the essentials of truly, I mean truly, saying he's my Lord and my God. Because the words are simple. But when you come up here and you put it into action, that's where you make him Lord of your life and God of your life. So all I had to go with that Blog Talk Mom, but I just do want you to know that you are an inspiration. You're an example of the things that I so wish I had more of in my life. And I can't stress how much the benefits that I have been blessed with just because you're my mother. And I thank you for it all.
Wow. I think you're so kind to say all those wonderful things. Just like I mentioned, I get y'all's cards down and I read them. And I just feel like I almost absorb it because you really meant, y'all meant the words you said, and it really, really matters. And Rhonda, when I was getting ready to speak at, you and I both spoke at that Brandon's church, and she texted me and told me, because I just seemed like I hit a wall. And she said, if God brings you to it, he's going to bring you. I mean, that was so beautiful coming from her. And, you know, nothing means as much as that from both of you and Sister Starla. And Sister Starla, when she can tell me that she's been praying all day for me, I think that's the reason I was able to come through whatever situation it was. And that makes me so absolutely grateful to the Lord for watching over our family and keeping his hand. Your dad, that was one of the most awesome presence of God I have ever witnessed in my life. And I'll forever be grateful to be able to see God make something so beautiful out of, that's what he does. He delights in doing that. There's a Robert Shuler, I thought of this while you were talking about the ladder. And some people are at the top of the ladder. And as you were talking, there's different places, you know, that we are, might be in the middle, and there may be some at the bottom, and some don't even know there's a ladder. They don't even know. They don't have any idea that God is there. It's like what is Jacob's ladder. I mean, read that whole chapter, or start with verse 10, I believe. It is so amazing, the object lesson that God gave, and it was going to cover everybody. And it wasn't to a man that would just had necessarily had a bed of roses all of his life, for sure. But it said that for us, we are to be aware of the ladder as we deal with other people's journey. And I think that's so important. I've failed at that many times, said certain things, maybe reacted a certain way. You know, sometimes just not doing anything is a reaction when we should give something beautiful, a prayer, a gift. Whatever. We know we've got God with us in those situations. And Mark Twain put, the ladder of life is full of splinters. I don't know why that's funny to me. But they always prick the hardest when we're sliding down. And that is so true. And so I ended the book with, we've got all of these different things that we all are tempted with. Gossiping, and you say, oh, I don't gossip. Well, whatever. Yeah, it's not funny either, I reckon. And jealousy. Jealousy is a very, it links itself with the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not just jealousy with a companion or something. I have had to deal with that through my life because it came forth from a feeling in me of being inadequate and not being able to meet a situation, and others could, and I didn't even realize that there was a little spirit of jealousy, and God showed me that was hindering that where God wanted to use me. You know, that's the main thing, is to be in place with Him. Being pessimistic, that's a splinter. Telling you, people call me and tell me what they heard on the news. I don't want to know what they heard on the news, but I can tell them what my early morning devotion was if they want to hear it. Harsh judgments, discouragement, bitterness, being negative, anger, worry, having an attitude of just being petty about everything. And Sister Holland, and she taught this in her minister's class, it doesn't matter where you go out to eat and what they serve you, you tip and you never complain. Now, there's a way to make an addendum on to whatever you ordered, but she knew that was a setting that was an opportunity much bigger than the food. And it says, and this here happened to me today, I lost my voice. I don't really know why, but it was just, my voice was just trembling. And I thought, I can't. And I had this lesson, so I said, oh, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I thought, well, this was just exactly what I needed. So we can climb the steps with the Word of God, step by step. Walking with Him. Walking with Jesus. Woo! I love it. And I have a whole bunch of notes about walking with Jesus. Hope to put it together one of these days. I may even get to rap. Who knows? Thank you for the rap that you played at the very beginning of it. And I always want to give a special thank you to Jordan Hewlett, who put the beat and the music to every one of the rap albums. And I do appreciate him very, very much for that. I think one time he said that he had spent 13 hours just putting it together. And when I would write the lyrics, and sometimes we would get there for me to rap, and I'd start singing. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was just, it just took over. So I know, I have great confidence that the Word of God is in each one of these and that it will be used of the Lord. And I have great confidence when I share it with people. I try at least five a day, and sometimes it's really neat. I'll be in line at Walmart or something, and someone will turn and say, oh, you're rapping Granny. Or Granny Rapper, which one? But it makes me happy. And, you know, maybe I don't. I didn't accomplish a lot of things that I thought that I wanted, but I don't think I could have ever been a missionary that had gone all, mostly all over the world, telling them what His Word say. So God had a plan, and I'm so thankful that He let me be a part of something that just so much above me in every way, and gave me my children and gave me the Blog Talk program that I could just come on here and share and talk, and I don't think any of my friends are going to be calling because of the time frame, but some say they listen to it in the archives, and y'all be sure and remind everybody that they can do that. Go one way and I get right to it, and then I go another way and I don't. But so you can maybe explain that. So I will be quiet, tell you I love you very much, and we're climbing that ladder for Jesus. And I'm through.
Well, I want to say, offer an invitation. If you have anything you want to ask or say, share, just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. We still have a little time. Well, we have no takers. So, Wild Bill, did you have anything else?
No, I just, the thing that Blog Talk Mom was talking about, anybody can go to the Blog Talk page and look for your place. I usually have them, they're not up to date, but I do have links posted on my Facebook page, the Your Place Facebook page, and it's YOUR-place, so that you can find it. And but anyway, all of our shows from what I think is the beginning when we first started doing this a while back is available. So anything that you want to go back and listen to, you can download on any smart device for free. And we just hope everybody takes advantage of it and enjoys it.
That's a grand idea. I really appreciate that also.
Well, I so enjoyed it tonight. I really appreciate you sharing with us. I do love you very much, and I appreciate your sacrifice. And I know this has really been a sacrifice.
Well, it's sort of exciting, though. I think getting up at 5 in the morning is going to be the the bigger sacrifice, because I'm excited now.
Yeah, well, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, because I would like to do that every morning.
Amen. That is so good. And pray for the situation without explaining it at all. We just need, and we have, the blessings of God in the schooling part.
Well, we want to thank everyone for being with us each week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.